Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks so much for telling your friends about this podcast. I'm so glad you're tuning in. We are in the midst of a series that we just started. We're talking about end times, and a big word for that is eschatology. And a lot of people have some very interesting beliefs. In fact, most people, if they subscribe to Christianity, believe in what's called a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial eschatology. And that's when everything is going to just go to hell in a handbasket. It's the idea that Jesus is going to come out of the eastern sky and with a big trumpet call all the believers up to heaven, and then unleash unparalleled amounts of chaos, evil, destruction, and ruin on the face of the earth to get even with everybody who did not pick Jesus' team. And that storyline has been in play for more than 150 years. It certainly is not the eschatology or the end time belief that Jesus held or that the early church held, but it is something that's been cultivated and absolutely the predominant viewpoint. And so we're going to take a few pieces of this eschatology and reframe it for you. And we're not going to use the evening news as proof. We're actually just going to look at what does the Bible say? I mean, if we're going to build a belief system, let's build it based on what the Bible says. And guess what? You don't have to get weird. You don't have to get Harry Potter and start to believe all these things which are just unbelievable. Nope, you simply can see it all played out. You can look at things, extra biblical accounts, and all of history to prove that Scripture was right. And that is powerful. It's transformative. And instead of having just total pessimism, we're left with something really, really positive. And so today we want to continue on this. And I'm so glad you're here. I hope that you will tell your friends and family about this. I promise you, this is the subject you want to forward to them. You want to let them know that, hey, this is, you got to listen to this, mom, dad, uncle, cousin, fundamentalist, neighbor, friend. You need to take note. So pass this one on, because this is the reason why a lot of people refuse to believe in Christianity. This is the reason it becomes unbelievable. And I'm going to change all that. Okay, so let's dive right in. And today we're going to talk about why the tribulation is not coming. Why the tribulation is not coming. So we live in a world where our news, if you turn on the radio or the TV, it reports almost exclusively bad news. And you know that. We're addicted to it. And this plays on our fears. It plays on our insecurities. And, you know, the bad news makes the herd mentality very pessimistic. At the same time, reporting on all the bad news makes our government and certain corporations and our military machine richer and stronger and more powerful. And by selling us scarcity instead of abundance, by showing us evil instead of good, the people, the masses, the herd, they remain anesthetized, dependent, and distracted from the true abundant and generative trajectory of the world. And that's my deepest belief. And I know that a lot of people in the world also feel this way now. But you see, religion and modern evangelical Christianity specifically has capitalized on bad news, just like the news does. You see, the message of most churches today is, well, if you think this is bad, just wait for the tribulation, which is right around the corner, right? Fear is the lowest form of motivation, but it's highly effective in people who are anesthetized, dependent, or distracted. So, you know, fear gets us to sign up for religion. Fear gets us to go to the place that we often can't get to otherwise, right? It plays on that very base human survival. And for roughly the last, you know, 150 years, the church has threatened us with this imminent great tribulation. I mean, from the time I was little, I was told, hey, Jesus is coming back at any moment. And so in most of today's religions, primarily Christianity, people don't have a faith so much as they have a fire insurance policy. You see, fear was the reason they got in. Fear is what keeps them in. And they've missed the true tenets of the faith because they're only trying to avoid hell. Or they're only trying to avoid a worldwide, you know, Armageddon. And since I was a child, man, I've heard countless sermons claiming that we are entering the tribulation. I can't even tell you how many pulled the news report of the day and just said Jesus is returning at any moment. I mean, their proof, however, was not in the Bible. Their proof was in the evening news, right? They'd pull out the headlines from the paper. And ironically, the tribulation has eluded us for centuries. So despite all the doomsday preachers saying it's right around the corner and that it's never been closer, it has yet, over 2,000 years since Jesus' departure, is not come. Now, this great pessimism, which is part of our belief system in modern Christianity, is a result of believing a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial eschatology. And eschatology is that big word for end times. Pre-tribulation simply means that they believe that we are before the tribulation right now, and that we are living in a time before the millennial kingdom of Christ. And while most Americans will say that they're confused by eschatology, most are not aware of an alternative. And so that's what today is all about. It's about this alternative. And did you know that there is an alternative perspective on how all of this ends? But let me tell you, there is a happy ending. It's not the ending where only those with the chrome fish on the back of their car are happy because they picked the right team. This is a happy ending for every single person in human history, for our world, for our globe, our cosmos, our ecosystems, for all the animals, and for everything that has ever been a part of it. It is a good ending. Why? How could that possibly be good? Well, because the trajectory of the world, as I will show you, is not going to hell in a handbasket and on a decline. It's on an incline. It's expanding. And it's moving toward the restoration of all things. Now, I know some of you are going to push back and say, Kevin, have you seen the news lately? I'm not pulling my information from the news. I'm pulling my information from Scripture. And Scripture, even like Ken Wilber, it calls us to wake up, to clean up, to grow up, and to show up. And that's a radically different progression of consciousness than what we've been taught. Right? The eschatology I'm sharing is called post-millennialism. Right? And if pre-millennialism is that we're living before the millennial reign of Christ, post-millennialism is the perspective that says we are living in the millennial reign of Christ. Now, that might be a big hard pill to swallow, provided all that you've been conditioned to believe. But let me just introduce you to just a couple of things that may change your mind. And I hope over the coming weeks, I can deconstruct some of those really hard, strong, foundational beliefs, because what's going to happen is going to be transformative. You see, I believe the Great Tribulation is not going to happen because it already happened. in AD 70 with the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. You see, those who know their Bibles are going to want proof of this. So I've provided a very detailed introduction and explanation that you can link to from this post. If you go to thriveinexile.com and look at this post called "The Why the Tribulation Will Not Happen." I have a link. You can click on it. It's on my website, kevinwinder.com, under products. Just look under there. But you'll be able to go through all the stuff that I'm not going to be able to cover in this series. Believe me, there is a lot there. And so you can check it out for yourself. But I do invite you to put on your floaties, because I'm going to take you to the deep end. This is not going to be some cursory glance. But this post today really is for the cliff notes. And these are just two of many, many, many considerations from the Bible on why the tribulation is not going to happen, because it already did. And the first reason is that the book of Revelations is actually revealing something. It's not a hidden, it's not a hiding, it's a revealing. It's not a cryptic message for 2,000 years into the future. You know, there wasn't some, you know, John wasn't sitting on the island of Patmos thinking, man, in about 2,000-3,000 years from now, people will be interpreting this and knowing that it's coming at any moment. No, he was sending a quasi-cryptic message written to the churches on the mail route, which you can read about in Revelations 1:11. And it was circulated in the Roman Empire. He was writing to churches in the Roman Empire. This is really important. You see, scholars date the book of Revelations now around AD 60. No longer do they look at it as AD 90. There's too many indications to prove that for an early date. And the Greek texts in the scripture themselves clearly reveal my first point, and that is that the context was not a global tribulation. It was a local tribulation. So when the writers were writing about the tribulation in those passages of scripture that talk about eschatology or at the eschaton, the end times, those particular types of scripture are referring to a local tribulation. They are not referring to a global tribulation as we often interpret it. Now, how do I get there? Well, let me show you. This is proven out by the Greek term found in Revelations 3:10 and Matthew 24:16 by the term oikomene. Oikomene, which is commonly mistranslated as earth or whole world, actually means Roman Empire. So when you read about the tribulation that's coming, it doesn't say, even though you read it in English as the tribulation coming to the whole world, the Greek translation is saying the tribulation that's coming to the Roman Empire. Clearly it's local. The Greek word which is not used for the whole world is cosmos. Now you see that throughout scripture when they're talking about the whole world, like God so loved the cosmos, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son. You can get the term ge, which is the term for land or earth, right? And that's not used. No, oikomene is the term that's used in these passages. Jesus himself even uses the term oikomene when he's talking about the same events in Matthew 24, verse 13. And so another proof is, you know, that it was a local event is that Jesus tells people in Matthew 24 and verse 16 that when this time happens, when this end time happens, flee to the mountains. Now, you couldn't flee from the scene if it were not a local event. He's telling those in Judea, flee to the mountains, because it's not a global event. If it's a global event, there's nowhere to flee. So that's the first point. The first kind of foundation I want to lay here is that the tribulation was local. Okay? Now, the second point I want to make on the tribulation is that it was historical. It's not future. And how do I get to there? You see, Revelations clearly teaches us that at the onset of the book, the very beginning, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse, it says it's going to reveal things that will soon take place and that the time is near in verse 3. So right out in the didactic portions of Revelation, which are the first chapter and the very last chapter, it says these are the things that are going to soon take place. The time is near, right? And another thing is that when Jesus is talking about the end times, the eschaton, the tribulation depicted in Matthew chapter 24, he clearly says to his disciples that this generation, he's talking about the people who are alive right now, will not pass away until all these things take place. So Jesus is saying to his generation, he's saying, look, this will not pass away until all these things take place. This is amazing. He's telling them in Matthew 24:34 that the tribulation is going to take place in their lifetime. That's a full stop. So if you believe the Bible, if you believe Jesus at all, take any stock in what the scripture says plainly and clearly, then it's telling us that these tribulations are local and historical. And just in case you weren't convinced, Revelation ends in the very last chapter by reminding us that all the things in the book were to soon take place. Revelations 22:6. So let this be a reminder to you. Don't get sucked into all the dramatic, magical fiction that the church is so known for. Just look at the facts. What is it saying? It's saying, look, this has got to take place soon. And so just in these two areas, that the tribulation was local, not global, and that the tribulation is historical, and not future, scripture says that it was approximate to the time of writing. So what about the beast? What about the Antichrist? What about the seals and the trumpet and the dragon and the harlot and the scrolls and all of the imagery that's in the rest of the book? It's very fascinating. What are we supposed to do with all the big magical scenes that are played out in that dramatic depiction? You know, what about all the science fiction and the paranormal things that are supposed to take place in this big Armageddon type event? Well, this is where post-millennial perspective gets really interesting. And I'm going to be highlighting a few of these big things, in the coming weeks. But if you really want a deep dive right away, then go to this post right now and click on the link that says here, and you can get my details on the happy ending. Okay? It's also in my website, kevinwinder.com. Go to products and look for happy ending. And you will see this listed out for you. You can go through it and it's a deep dive, okay? Now, let's pause for just a second. I know that what I'm presenting seems incredible if this is your first hearing. I mean, you're wondering, how have I never heard anything about this? I have heard so many sermons and preachers, and all they do is talk about how Jesus is coming any moment, and the world is getting worse and worse, and things are getting bad and terrible, and Jesus is going to come back with a giant can of whoop-ass, and he's going to take everybody with K-Love on their radio preset. I know, that is what I believed too. If you asked me this 10 years ago, I would believe that too. But somebody showed me, and I'm showing you. See, you may feel like I'm deconstructing the heart of your deepest beliefs. Maybe your deepest hope is just that Jesus is going to come back and rescue you from all the hell and pain and suffering that you experience. Please, I ask you, keep an open mind. I would not deconstruct this belief if I did not have something much, much bigger to put in its place. And I understand that reframing our eschatology requires an overhaul of many of the other beliefs that we have. It's a good thing to do. It will transform your life. That's what I'm here to bring about. You know, we can't get a new kitchen if we don't take out the old one. You just can't put a new cabinet over the old one. You have to take the old ones out. You can't slap granite on top of the old cabinets and countertops. You have to take the old ones out, which means there's a period of time where you're left without a usable kitchen. But the end result is always worth it. And may that metaphor stick with you as you go through this. Keep an open mind and go through this process, because on the other side, something is amazing. Don't be afraid to do this. We all have to give up our prejudices, our separatism, and our power plays, which are deeply embedded in this pre-trib, pre-millennial eschatology. But what we gain on the backside is totally worth it. And guess what? Revelations turns out to be true. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.